Wow. Good morning, everybody. Y'all doing good? Man, these guys sound great, huh? Phew, I was enjoying just them jamming out there during the offering. I was like, oh, that was really good. So, man, they have a full crew today, too. Man, I had fun last night. One gentleman came by and dropped this offering. He said, hey, I still have no pain. And we didn't even pray for him last night. Wow. Good morning, everybody. Y'all doing good? Man, these guys sound great, huh? Phew, I was enjoying just them jamming out there during the offering. I was like, oh, that was really good. So, man, they have a full crew today, too. Man, I had fun last night. One gentleman came by and dropped this offering. He said, hey, I still have no pain. And we didn't even pray for him last night. Wow. Good morning, everybody. Y'all doing good? Man, these guys sound great, huh? Phew, I was enjoying just them jamming out there during... Change my eye. If he can change my perspective, he'll change my whole life. You know, there's attitudes we grew up with. There's ways that we thought and felt our whole life that we were trained by that weren't productive. We actually put pressure on everybody around us that we say we loved. Right in our own home. There's things that we got attitudes. We say, I love you, and then we got attitude all day. And we don't even understand love. It's just all about you. But that's why it's so miserable. That's why it's so frustrated. See, man was never created for himself. Man was never created just to get things his way. And I'm telling you, if you're living that way, no wonder you're frustrated. Because somehow you think everything revolves around you. But the truth is, you're on the earth to shine and reveal you, and then we got attitude all day. And we don't even understand love. It's just all about you. But that's why it's so miserable. That's why it's so frustrated. See, man was never created for himself. Man was never created just to get things his way. You and you're self-centered, you're actually saying, I need you and you ain't cutting it for me. That's why people get so mad at each other. But the truth is, you're on the earth to shine and reveal you, and then we got attitude all day. And we don't even understand love. It's just all about you. But that's why it's so miserable. That's why it's so frustrated. See, man was never created for himself. Man was never created. It's never been about you. It's always been about Christ in you and Christ through you. Listen, if you're a parent, for you, your children have the power to break your heart instead of bless you. And you say you love them, but you're only as good as they're doing. It's idolatry. You're actually letting your children be who you are. And if they're not doing well, you're no good at all. Come on. You're not a parent for you. You're a parent for His image, and you're multiplying His image in your children through your life. Power to break your heart instead of bless you. And you say you love them, but you're only as good as they're doing. It's idolatry. You're actually letting your children be who you are. And if they're not doing well, you're no good at all. Come on. You're not a parent for you. You're a parent for His image, and you're multiplying His image in your children through your life. Power to break your heart instead of bless you. And you say you love them, but you're only as good as they're doing. It's idolatry. You're actually letting your children be who you are. And if they're not doing well, you're no good at all. Come on. You're not a parent for you. You're a parent for His image, and you're multiplying His image in your children through your life. Power to break your heart instead of bless you. And you say you love them, but you're only as good as they're doing. It's idolatry. You're actually letting your children be who you are. And in that place, He said, you're blessed. Be fruitful and multiply. Is He talking about just having children? Or is He talking about increasing what He made you to be and covering the earth with His glory? Oh, that's so exciting. See, God didn't make a woman to scratch a man's itch. And vice versa. If you read the Bible, God made man for His image.
Yes.
And in His likeness. That changed when Adam ate the tree, and every one of us was born into Adam, and every one of us was born into that lie and that rat race, separated from God, and we were trained by life, homeschooled in the wrong home. Our teachers were false teachers. It's called life apart from God. You were taught to be angry. You were taught to be frustrated. You were taught to cop an opinion. It came natural. You could be 2 years old fighting over a toy. Mine. Poof. This was born into Adam, and every one of us was born into that lie and that rat race, separated from God, and we were trained by life, homeschooled in the wrong home. Our teachers were false teachers. It's called life apart from God. You were taught to be angry. You were taught to be frustrated. You were taught to cop an opinion. It came natural. You could be 2 years old fighting over a toy. Mine. Poof. This was born into Adam, and every one of us was born into that lie and that rat race, separated from God, and we were trained by life, homeschooled in the wrong home. Our teachers were false teachers. It's called life apart from God. You were taught to be angry. You were taught to be frustrated. You were taught to cop an opinion. It came natural. You could be 2 years old fighting over a toy. Mine. Poof. This was born into Adam, and every one of us was born into that lie and that rat race, separated from God, and we were trained by life, homeschooled in the wrong home. Our teachers were false. And we expect God to answer our prayer and allow us to stay that way. It's why things don't change a lot when people are only praying because of pain. You don't pray because of pain, you pray because of love. You pray because you understand your spouse is more than what they're giving themselves to. They're more than the attitude that's blinding them. They're more than the thing that they're living. And instead of letting your heart get broken by them, your heart breaks for them. And instead of learning to cry because of them, you cry for them. We expect God to answer our prayer and allow us to stay that way. It's why things don't change a lot when people are only praying because of pain. You don't pray because of pain, you pray because of love. You pray because you understand your spouse is more than what they're giving themselves to. They're more than the attitude that's blinding them. They're more than the thing that they're living. And instead of letting your heart get broken by them, your heart breaks for them. And instead of learning to cry because of them, you cry for them. We expect God to answer our prayer and allow us to stay that way. It's why things don't change a lot when people are only praying because of pain. You don't pray because of pain, you pray because of love. You pray because you understand your spouse is more than what they're giving themselves to. They're more than the attitude that's blinding them. By them, your heart breaks for them. And instead of learning to cry because of them, you cry for them. We expect God to answer our prayer and allow us to stay that way. It's why things don't change a lot when people are only praying because of pain. You don't pray because of pain, you pray because of love. You pray because you understand your spouse, the truth. He's more than the thing that they're living. And instead of letting your heart get broken by them, your heart breaks for them. And instead of learning to cry because of them, you cry for them. We expect God to answer our prayer and allow us to stay that way. It's why things don't change a lot when people are only praying because of pain. You don't pray because of pain, you pray because of love. You pray because you understand your spouse, the truth. He's more than the thing that they're living. And instead of letting your heart get broken by them, your heart breaks for them. And instead of learning to cry because of them, you cry for them. We expect God to answer our prayer and allow us to stay that way. It's why things don't change a lot when people are only praying because of pain. You don't pray because of pain, you pray because of love. You pray because you understand your spouse, the truth. He's more than the thing that they're living. And instead of letting your heart get broken by them, your heart breaks for them. And instead of learning to cry because of them, you cry for them. We expect God to answer our prayer to meet your need. God put you on the earth so you could shine like Him and love like Him and be like Him. Not abuse each other and be hard with each other and sing Holy is the Lamb and then fight in your home over stuff. You'll teach yourself religion. You'll do your heart injustice. You got something so good going here. God wants it to grow and multiply and touch the area. Yeah. This isn't just our little gathering that identifies us and makes us Christian. Yeah. Not abuse each other and be hard with each other and sing Holy is the Lamb and then fight in your home over stuff. You'll teach yourself religion. You'll do your heart injustice, image and His love so the world might know that He sent His Son.
Yeah.
This isn't where we do our service to God.
Yeah.
This is where we grow to become more like Him.
Yes.
Come on, guys. See, there's no way out of what I'm saying. Your heart's held accountable when I'm talking like this. You either want Him or you don't.
Good.
You either want to repent or you want to stay the same.
That's true.
It's true. You've got to preach the gospel that way. And then you're exposed, your own heart, before the Lord and your own conscience. And it's not that you listen to this sermon for your spouse. You listen for your own heart. If you're elbowing your spouse, I'm talking to you. I'm serious. You don't listen to the sermon for the other person. See, because that's a problem, because then you're just waiting for them to change. And you don't realize if you're just waiting for them to change how much influence they're having in who you are today. And all of a sudden, you're nothing more than a product of what they're failing to produce or producing instead of a product of who the one is inside of you. And all of a sudden, you're only doing as good as they seem to be doing you. And you sing, "He's Lord," but you're letting them govern and decide your life. And then that wouldn't be love, would it? I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about somebody just, you know, we're so afraid of this love message sometimes because we think, well, I don't want nobody to make me a doormat. I don't want people walking over me. Jesus was not a doormat. He was a living epistle and expression of love. No one abused him. He gave and laid down his life freely. And he loved the world through his blood to bring us back to the Father so he could come inside of us and make us like him. Not so we could sing to him. So we could follow him.
Boy, that's just good preaching, Nathan.
He was a living epistle and expression of love. No one abused him. He gave and laid down his life freely. And he loved the world through his blood to bring us back to the Father so he could come inside of us and make us like him. Not so we could sing to him. So we could follow him. Change the world. Woohoo! Come home from work. Well, I gave the boss a piece of my mind. Wow, now the world's a better place. It's amazing how that stuff works for us when we're lost. How was your day, honey? Oh, I finally gave a boss a piece of my mind. We were supposed to give him Jesus. Yeah. Not rightness. And it's amazing how false and temporal that is, how it feels so good for a moment because you told him off. Woohoo!
I hope we don't give too much of our mind. Are you guys okay? Or is this too harsh? Are you okay? I told you I'd smile the whole time. I'm like super encouraged. I want you to be okay. Here's what I
cry out for, and this is why I travel and do what I do. I want us to know him and understand him and enjoy him every day apart from our meetings. Yes. When you're in your car together as a family, when you're home in your living rooms, when you're laying beside each other in a bed at night, I would just love to know his presence is right there because there's oneness. Not because there's needs-driven stuff. Not because there's animosity and unresolved conflicts that we're trying to ignore and just walk through. Up for it. This is why I travel and do what I do. I want us to know him and understand him and enjoy him every day and not need one another and covet one another. That's good. Home in your living rooms when you're laying beside.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, it's Christianity. It's not cool to sing "Holy is the Lamb" and lift both hands and then fight over where we're going to eat and have true animosity. Because you always get to pick where you want and you're selfish and how come I can't eat where I want? And all of a sudden you forget the blessing of who you are and where you live and that there's food all around you and all of a sudden, it's about choice and preference, and you're willing to slam one another over a meal. Come on, I'm being real. Yeah. The biggest trap is just saying, oh, well, that's every, come on, you're getting too creative. That's analytical. It's just normal. Everybody's going to have their go-throughs. Look, if you take away the landing strip, the plane won't come in. If you say, well, everybody has their moments, that's why you have yours. If you just cop out and say, well, we're all this way. Well, you can't tell me. You're justifying your flesh and assuring tomorrow's yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you'll sit in church and do church, but you won't do him.
That's good. That's good.
Come on. Why am I talking like this? To correct you? To tell you who you are so your life has impact.
Yes.
So you go to work and shine. Yeah. So you shine when you're pumping gas.
Yeah.
You shine when you're walking through the mall. You're not pushing and shoving and trying to be first and mad at the clerk and this store and writing them a letter. Come on. I get concerned. I say, man, if the church would suffer strong persecution in this country, I'm concerned the only thing we'd know to do is picket and protest instead of make peace and love and bless and do not curse. and show that we're his sons. Come on, guys. Rather than, can you believe what they did? I can't believe they did that. Well, they should have known better. I know. Well, you must be so hurt. Yeah. Come on. Who taught us to talk that way? Did we ever hear that in Jesus' mouth? Could you picture Jesus? Do you understand that Jesus, do you guys believe that Jesus was really a real fellow, that he came as God in the flesh and healed folks and fed people? And do you really believe these Bible stories are true? So you think Jesus was pretty awesome? Do you think his heart was pure? Do you think he had ill intent or any motive that was a little twisted? So you think he was as pure as anything and anyone that ever was? Squeaky clean. So here he is, beat, back ripped open, bruised, battered. We're talking people. And do you really believe these Bible stories are true? So you think Jesus was pretty awesome? Do you think his heart was pure? Do you think he had ill intent or any motive that was a little twisted? So you think he was as pure as anything and anyone that ever was? Squeaky clean. So here he is, beat, back ripped open, bruised, battered. We're talking people. And do you really believe these Bible stories are true? So you think Jesus was pretty awesome? Do you think his heart was pure? Do you think he had ill intent or any motive that was a little twisted? So you think he was as pure as anything and anyone that ever was? Squeaky clean. So here he is, beat, back ripped open, bruised, battered. We're talking people. And do you really believe these Bible stories are true? So you think Jesus was pretty awesome? Do you think his heart was pure? Do you think he had ill intent or any... I've had enough. Could you even imagine that? You know why we can't imagine that? It's because we know Jesus different. But he made us in his image.
That's good.
It's amazing how we accept things in our mouth that we can't imagine in his.
That's good.
Come on. We've been through far less than Jesus. Far less. No one has done you wrong like we've done Jesus wrong in humanity. And he's not dropping the cross saying, I've had enough. Father, I can't take it anymore. Look at me. Look what they've done to me. All I've done is heal and help and feed and bless. And all I've done is spoken life. Come on, I put on this flesh to save them. And this is what they do to me? God, if they didn't change by now, they're probably not going to change. And I don't think they love us at all. And I'm not sure why we love them. I'll tell you what. I am not dying on this cross. I can't take him. If they hit me with one more club, I'll feed and bless. And all I've done is spoken life. Come on, I put on this flesh to save them. And this is what they do to me? God, if they didn't change by now, they're probably not going to change. And I don't think they love us at all. And I'm not sure why we love them. I'll tell you what, I am not dying on this. Come on. His name is Jesus, and he's my king. Amen. Come on, man. There's nothing he's asking of you that he hasn't done, that he hasn't walked out. And the only thing he's asking you to give up is what you never were in the first place. So how hard is that? To give back the lie. Why would we covet what we were never created to be? That me, myself, and I. Well, I feel. Well, they shouldn't have did that to me. Well, I'm mad. Get over that. Come on. I'm not saying that mean and sarcastic. You were trained to feel that way through the were in the first place. So how hard is that? To give back the lie. Why would we cut? Life lived, not his life. We've been trained by a lie. I told you we were homeschooled in the wrong home. But in all... Come on. I'm not saying that mean and sarcastic. You were trained to feel that way through the... were in the... blessed, a fair shake. Do you know how many people are sitting in church mad at God because things didn't work the way they thought they should? And they got issues with God. When the clay rationalizes so much that it's found fault with the potter, that's a sign of the fall of man. It's a sign of human wisdom, rational, ooh, I'm not being crude, rational nonsense, making sense. Not being rude to you. I'm not being insulting. I'm saying when the creation finds fault with the Creator and is sure they're right, that's a tragic sign of the fall. You say, well, my spouse, they shouldn't have died. I didn't want to lose my mother. She died too young. Why? We lose a child or a tragic thing. And all of a sudden, somehow it's amazing how God is always in the mix and it's His fault and we find blame. And listen, God never gave you the blessing of life, family, children, parents, of who He is. He gave you those things in light of who He is so you properly steward. You say, well, my spouse, it shouldn't have died. I didn't want to lose my mother. She died too young. Why? We lose a child or a tragic thing. And all of a sudden, somehow it's amazing how God is always in the mix and it's His fault and we find blame. And listen, God never gave you the blessing of life, family, children, parents at the cost of who He is. He gave you those things in light of who He is so you properly steward. You say, well, my spouse, it shouldn't have died. I didn't want to lose my mother. She died too young. Why? We lose a child or a tragic thing. And all of a sudden, somehow it's amazing how God is always in the mix and it's His fault and we find blame. And listen, God never gave you the blessing of life, family, children, parents at the cost of who He is. He gave you those things in light of who He is so you properly steward. You say, well, my spouse, it shouldn't have died. I didn't want to lose my mother. She died too young. Why? We lose a child or a tragic thing. And all of a sudden, somehow it's amazing how God, when I was 33 years old and said, I can't live another day like this. It's a rotten lie and I don't even like who I am. And I needed you to like me to feel I was likable because I didn't even like me. And when I saw that, I cried and I said, I can't be this man anymore. And I cried out to God, who at that time I didn't even know if He was real. I just said, if You're real, I can't live this way anymore. I don't like what I see. I don't want to live another day this way. If You're real, if You love me and can forgive me and have a plan for my life, I said, I'm Yours. I'll live for You. And heaven came over me. The Spirit of God came inside of me 20 years ago, and I've still got to calm down to talk about it. I'm serious. I haven't done church for 20 years. What I see, I don't want to live another day this way. If You're real, if You love me and can forgive me and have a plan for my life, free from being mad at You.
Yeah. I'm serious. All of a sudden, my wife doesn't owe me anything. Wow.
You know what my wedding vow was to her when I got saved? You owe me nothing in this marriage but to receive the love of God from me. And as long as I draw breath on this earth, I'll serve You in His unfailing love. And she said, okay. Does that mean she's done great every day? Does that mean she's always walked out her faith? Does that mean she's never had a... Doesn't mean a thing. It means I love You. You know what love says and only ever says? It just says, I love You. And that's all it says. Doesn't say, do you love me? Because when it says, do you love me? All you're saying is, I love You for me. All God has ever said through His Son, I love You. I know who You are. I know what You're created for. And I know what's possible. Now we step out in faith and come out of that thing and step into me. I love You. I know where you've been. All you're saying, what you've done. But I know who you are. I love you. Would you come out of that and come into me? Listen, you can sit in that old mindset if you want, but how's that really working? You can keep trying to demand everybody around you and build your own little kingdom, but come on. Why would you buy time? Don't even tell me you're blessed in that place. It's a push and shove rat race. You can feel like you're winning a rat race and you're still a rat.
Come on.
People climbing to the top, push and shove, using people for their gain and all that stuff. Power playing and playing each other. Come on. When you get frustrated at somebody and you see them less than their value, you're living at their expense instead of laying down your life because of love. It's a total perversion. How many of us have lived at the expense of one another with our attitudes, our comments, our words, our sarcasm? You're created to lay down your life for one another, and we get trapped to living at the expense of one another. We do it in our own marriages and don't even realize that we think it's normal. We think they deserve it because we've lost sight of the value and potential of every one of our lives if we're living that way. Let me show you something, Gene. Are you guys okay, or is this too like intense? Are you all right? Because I'm still smiling. I'm just, some of you guys are losing your smile, and you're starting to look like a deliverance meeting. You guys are good, right? Let's look at the book of James. This is humbling. This is sobering. Listen, the reason I'm preaching this thing isn't because you guys are messing it up. It's because I want to cheer you on into the truth, because wonder if God says things because he believes it's possible for us to hear and obey and run this race. Wonder if it's not always God's talking because he's spanking us. Wonder if he's cheering us on. Wonder if he believes that our hearts are able to hear and adjust. Wonder if he's not always just talking like this because we're a bunch of bad kids or something. Wonder if he's not telling us where we're not. He's telling us who we are. So you don't leave here and say, boy, I got a long way to go. But you leave here and say, man, I'm encouraged. I got direction. I have vision.
Yeah.
I've got purpose in my life.
Yes.
Wow, now I understand why I'm alive.
Yes.
And I see him or I see her in a whole different light. Yes. See, what you do with this word is between your heart, God, and your own conscience. But you have the privilege of living life in Christ, friend. And every one of us have that privilege of what we will do with Jesus now that he's come. You can make him a historic figure. You can make him an Easter story. You can make him a baby in a manger. Or he can be the very picture and essence of life. And you can follow him. You following me? I don't want to just serve him, guys. I want to be more like him. I want to look through his eyes and see you. I want to live from his heart and be like him where you're concerned. Do you know in the wilderness, the children of Israel went into the wilderness? You know Moses and the whole story. Do you know how Pharaoh's heart was really hard and God sent plague after plague? And finally, Pharaoh was like, get out of here. The people wanted him to go. They were like giving him all their monies and riches and they were like loaded heading out of Egypt, man. But it came with a price where Egypt was concerned. But the children of Israel went into the wilderness and then the whole point. Paul writes a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 10 and tells us, I write these things for your admonishment so you don't follow their example. They're in the wilderness. They're going to a land of milk and honey. That's the promise, milk and honey. So what are they thinking? What's in it for me? Deliver us from Pharaoh. It's so miserable. Life is miserable. Life, bleep. You know what I'm saying? And that's why they're praying, because life is tough. They have no idea of purpose. They're not understanding anything. They just desperate. God, save us. So God saves them, sends them into the wilderness so they could worship to their God. That's when they go to sacrifice, that's a form, that means worship, to worship God. Well, living your life in Christ, living your life according to purpose is the truest, beautiful form of worship. It's not singing a song. It's living in harmony, in agreement with truth. So they go into the wilderness, and what happens in the wilderness? They start wandering in the wilderness. They start looking around. There's no milk and honey. They're in there now for a while. It doesn't look like there's enough water. Where's the water? Would you bring us out here to thirst and die? Where's the food? Where are we going to die? And all of a sudden, they forget everything God's done and why, and they've just made it all about them and their inconveniences. The Bible says there wasn't a feeble among them. Apparently, if you read your Bible right, their clothes grew with their age. Like you wore the same pair of sandals from age 8 to 28. And they grew with your feet. There was a cloud by day, so they didn't burn up. And there was a fire by night, so they didn't freeze. In the morning, the ground was covered with food.
Come on.
But boy, they ain't happy because where's the milk and honey? And they kept saying the whole way through the wilderness, it'd be better for us. It'd be better for us. It'd be better for us. Whew. And missed the whole point. What's it matter where you are if he's there? But boy, they ain't happy because where's the milk and honey? And they kept saying the whole way through the wilderness, it'd be better for us. It'd be better for us. It'd be better for us. Whew. And missed the whole point. What's it matter where you are if he's there? But But boy, they ain't happy because where's the milk and honey? And they kept saying the whole way through the wilderness, it'd be better for us. It'd be better for us. It'd be better for us. Whew. And missed the whole point. What's it matter where you are if he's there? But boy, they ain't happy because where's the milk and honey? He fulfills in 40 days what they failed for 40 years. Tempted at every point, loved not his own life unto death. He didn't go into the wilderness for him. He went in the wilderness for God and you. Same wilderness, same temptations, no food, 40 days, hungered, right? They wandered and died and never fulfilled the promise. He was anointed with power. Their spirit and power came out in 40 days, anointed with the spirit and power. Ministered to by angels. People say, brother, pray for me. I'm going through a real wilderness. Must be the Israelites. Probably ought to jump over in Jesus' wilderness and get a better perspective. It's not about what you're going through in the moment. It's about who he is in the middle of it.
Yes.
It's about him diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. It's about him always causing you to triumph in the face of it all. Yes. Squeezing you and Christ coming out.
Yes.
Come on. Amen. I wonder if the devil's learned to squeeze folks to find out what they understand or what they don't. I wonder if the devil's just so arrogant that he comes up and says, oh yeah, right, holy is the Lamb. And when he squeezes you, everything but Christ comes out.
He says, well, they don't get it. Bunch of Israelites
wandering in the church. And then you cry and say, why is God letting all these things happen to me? He's not. You're positioned for it because of what you don't understand. And my people are destroyed for the lack of. You guys with me?
Yeah.
So isn't it amazing? Jesus went into the wilderness, fulfilled in 40 days what they failed for 40 years. Same wilderness, same temptation, same trials. Totally different perspective. And extreme different outcomes. Wandering, dying, and never fulfilling the promise. Anointed, spirit and power, fulfilling all that God willed.
Yeah.
Two pretty dramatic differences. One little motive. Went in selfless. They went in selfish. He went in selfless. They went in selfish. Then what's he say in Matthew 16? If anyone come after me, let him first. What's first? If anyone come after me, let him what? Why is that first? He didn't say pray all that God willed.
Yeah.
Two pretty dramatic differences. Yeah. One little motive. Went in selfless. They went in selfish. He went in selfless. They went in selfish. Then what's he say in Matthew 16? If anyone come after me, let him first. What's first? If anyone come after me, let him what?
Yeah.
Why is that first? He didn't say pray all that God willed.
Yeah.
Two pretty dramatic differences. Yeah. One little motive. Went in selfless. They went in selfish. He went in selfless. They went in selfish. Then what's he say in Matthew 16? If anyone come after me, let him first. What's first? If anyone come after me, let him what?
Yeah.
Why is that first? He didn't say pray all that God willed.
Yeah.
Two pretty dramatic differences. Yeah. One little motive. Went in selfless. They went in some metal in a microwave. Why don't you do that? It wasn't made for that. Come on. You put metal in a microwave, what are you going to do to the microwave? You're going to destroy it. You keep living for yourself. You're destroying the value and purpose of your life. All that God willed.
Yeah.
Two pretty dramatic differences. One little motive. Went in selfless. They went in some metal in a microwave. Why don't you do that? It wasn't made for that. Come on. You put metal in a microwave, what are you going to do to the microwave? You're going to destroy it. You keep living for yourself. You're destroying the value and purpose of your life. All that God willed.
Yeah.
Two pretty dramatic differences. So now we got to get baptized into the truth. That is not a confession of faith. It's a transformation of life. A change of heart and motive. A brand new eye, which becomes the lamp of your body. Watch this. And if your eye is single and sees through truth, your whole body is flooded with light. Doesn't say unless, of course, you've just been wronged, and unless, of course, you're faced with many challenges and issues. It says if you see clear, you will be clear. Period. That way, nothing else is Lord. He's Lord, and He rules your life and decides your disposition.
Yeah. Amen.
Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. I turned you to James 3, didn't I? When I used to do weddings, I don't do weddings anymore because my life's different and I travel and I don't have the grace to spend that kind of time in council, because if I do a wedding, I meet with the people so many times, it's ridiculous. I'm with them more than they're together. I'm serious. I sit the wedding party down. I tell them why they're in the wedding party, not just for cool pictures. And I get the parents all together and I tell them what we're going to do on wedding day as far as spiritually, so we don't just do a Ken and Barbie, whoa, that was a great thing, and have no marriage. You know, you got parents that don't let go of their kids. I have the mother and the father walk both down, the bride and the groom. I have them all stand there together, and I say, who gives these two? And I make sure they all say, we do.
That way you don't have any in-laws becoming outlaws.
Great thing, and have no marriage. You know, you got parents that don't let go of their kids. I have the mother and the father walk both down, the bride and the groom. I have them all stand there together, and I say, who gives these two? And I make sure they all say, we do.
That way you don't have any in-laws becoming outlaws.
Great thing, and have no marriage. You know, you got parents that don't let go of their kids. I have the mother and the father walk both down, the bride and the groom. I have them all stand there together, and I say, who gives these two? And I make sure they all say, we do.
That way you don't have any in-laws becoming outlaws.
Great thing, and have no marriage. You know, you got parents that don't let go of their kids.
Your best man out to eat, and he says, so how's things going?
Well, you know, I think I jumped in this too soon. I don't know. I don't know. There's some things that just bothered me. I don't know. You know, I was worried about that. I saw that in her. I tried to talk. Yeah, I know. See, that's not a best man. That's a bummer. A best man looks at him and says, buddy, what are you talking about, man? Did you get married for you, or did you give your life to her on that day? Come on, man. You got to love her like Christ loves the church, and you bring the best out in her and you cause her to shine. Come on, you're starting to think for yourself and feel for yourself. You sound like a man of the world. What are you doing? That's a best man. You girlfriends get together and start confiding, and if you got a little pain in your heart, you're not a good counselor for somebody that's hurting. You're the worst person they could talk to. Because you'll justify their pain and you'll lick each other's wounds and nobody will get healed. Come on, you're starting to think for yourself and feel for yourself. You sound like a man of the world. What are you doing? That's a best man. You girlfriends get together and start confiding. And if you got a little pain in your heart, you're not a good counselor for somebody that's hurting. You're the worst person they could talk to. Because you'll justify their pain and you'll lick each other's wounds and nobody will get healed. It'll look pretty. A wedding party's there to assure that marriage stays what it vowed to be. And you cry and you intercede and you pray and you talk to them. And if they ain't doing well, you sit them down, you take them out to eat, and you get straight with them. You see what I'm saying? But you don't say, boy, I understand how you must feel. Wow, it must be tough living with her. That's not a best man. Well, you know, maybe you shouldn't have got married. Maybe God really didn't bless it. Maybe you ought to move on. Your life's short, you know. You don't want to waste too much time with the wrong person. Boy, if God thought that one day about you, you'd be toast. Come on. If God thought that one day about you, what hope would you have? What, so you're so amazing that God should love you? Like you have it so going on that you should be the most popular in heaven? Do you see how self-righteous you can get and not even realize it? How you live above people and talk down on people, and the drastic pride that's involved there? That you would even have an opinion about somebody that's less than truth in God. Just because they're not producing it doesn't mean it's not possible. See, love believes the best. Love doesn't think. Do you see how self-righteous you can get and not even realize it? How you live above people and talk down on people and then look and fault find. It takes a man of God to dig for gold and potential. Anybody can watch somebody for a while and figure out what they think might be wrong with them. And if I could have 5 minutes alone, I could set them straight. Come on. But who's willing to look at somebody and actually care and actually see their potential and destiny? That's what a man or woman of God does. You guys good?
Yeah.
Let me close with this. You guys getting something out of this? I'm not asking for applause. I'm just, are you guys connecting with my heart this morning? Because I feel like this is encouraging stuff to cheer us on. Or we're just going to let stuff bum us out. We're just going to let light come on. But who's willing to look at somebody and actually care and actually see their potential and destiny? That's what a man or woman of God does. You guys good?
Yeah.
Let me close with this. You guys, I'm not asking for applause. I'm just, are you guys connecting with my heart this morning? Because I feel like this is encouraging stuff to cheer us on. Or we're just going to let stuff bum us out. We're just going to let light come on. But who's willing to look at somebody and actually care and actually see their potential and destiny? That's what a man or woman of God does. You guys good? Let me close with this. You guys getting something out of this? I'm not asking for applause. I'm just, are you guys connecting with my heart this morning? Because I feel like this is encouraging stuff to cheer us on. Or we're just going to let stuff bum us out. We're just going to let light come on. But who's willing to look?
Oh. I'd say stuff at weddings and then I'd leave the wedding party. They're standing here and they look so beautiful and I'd come out around them and talk to the people.
Just to make sure they caught what was going on and that they were convicted along with the truth that's going on up here. Because not everybody that's sitting together is doing well. Not everybody that goes to church is doing well. Sometimes we let going to church take the place of knowing Him. Going to church isn't what changes your lives. Knowing Him is what changes your lives. And nobody can truly have this and not have this. Watch. And if you don't have this, there's only one reason. You really do have this. It's scriptural. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He who loveth not just doesn't know God. He didn't say he doesn't go to church and doesn't pastor and doesn't work in a ministry. It doesn't say that you don't see your need for a Savior and didn't confess your sins. But if you don't love, you don't know Him. That's what it says. It says you can't know Him without becoming love. Because the whole goal of knowing Him is to be like Him. So the finished work of Christ isn't paid and fulfilled and paid in full when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven. The cross is fulfilled when a man's nature is restored back to love. Church services will never change the world. People walking in love will. He says, Father, when they're one like we're one, when they become one like we're one, then the world will know You sent Your Son. We think it's when everybody hears the gospel. Who is wise? I say this stuff at weddings. It's so fun. I say, who is wise and understanding among you? Who really knows what they're talking about? Well, then let them prove it by the way they live their life. That's what this is saying. It's not your speech. It's your life lived that matters. It says, who is wise in understanding among you? Let them show that they understand by the good conduct that their works of their life, that their works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Not arrogance, not presumption. The meekness of wisdom. Watch. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, in your heart, self-seeking. Most people that go to church honestly believe that a little bit of self-seeking is in everybody and it's normal. You can be a Christian for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're not careful, you can be a Christian for your sake and incorporate God into your life instead of God becoming your life.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you're going to get disappointed along the way and you're going to live like this and have a lot of confusion. You're going to let people hurt you. You're going to not go. You can be a Christian for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're not careful, you can be a Christian for your sake and incorporate God into your life instead of God becoming your life.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you're going to get disappointed along the way and you're going to live like this and have a lot of confusion. You're going to let people hurt you. You're going to not go. You can be a Christian for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're not careful, you can be a Christian for your sake and incorporate God. I'll give my life to them. If they want to know how I'm doing, I'm going to tell them. I have countless people in airplanes where I've got words of knowledge and share with them and saw them healed. Had people on the plane get touched. I'm trying to get out. People hurt you. You're going to not go. Pray for me. I saw a lady on the tarmac waiting for our gate check bags, completely healed, cry hysterical, and all of a sudden it turned into a little prayer meeting, church meeting. And then I couldn't even get to my next gate because I had people following me asking me for prayer. That's Christianity.
That's right. Yeah. It's just fun.
Or you're just caught up with your flight, your times, delays, oh bummer, flying's just terrible. No, flying puts you around a whole bunch of people. Travel's awesome. Put you out there where life's happening.
You can shine.
I had a lady crying so hard beside me on a plane that the flight attendant came to move her seat because she thought I was bothering the lady. She said, ma'am, I need to move your seat. She said, no, it's okay. She said, it doesn't look okay. She said, no, it's okay. And she cried hard several times, this lady. God just was going, bam, bam. I mean, like he knew her. He was talking to her like he knew her. And I just met her, but God seemed to know her.
It was fun. And I had no clue what I was saying, but you could see the boom, bam every time.
So the flight attendant leaves to go, and she's a little frustrated. She's like, honey, I need to move your seat. And she's looking at me like I'm a problem. And I'm just sitting there. And she leaves, and I looked and I said, honey, I know she's a little wondering what's going on, and I know you've been crying a lot, and I didn't mean to make you cry, but she's like, it's okay. I said, but I do need to tell you this. I said, Crohn's disease is no match for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, she didn't tell me nothing. You can't pull that out of a hat.
Yeah.
You could say that to 1,000 people, and they'll look at you cockeyed. But I said it to her. I said, honey, Crohn's disease is no match for Jesus Christ. And she went, flight attendant, I'm not exaggerating this. She said, that's it. I'm moving your seat up here. She hooked my arm, laid her head on my shoulder and said, no, no. She said, he's helping me. And I went, come on, you can let a million other things get in the way. A hearing like that and even seeing value in her. You just sit there and just be alone, be in your own little space and not even recognize there's a heart crying out beside you that's ripe for the picking.
Amen.
Just caught up with your seat. Your seat's not, it's too close to the Jiffy John. Big deal. Jesus hung on a cross. Yes, airline, I paid so much for this ticket, and I can smell that stinking Jiffy John. And now you're just complaining the whole flight to the person beside you because of this Jiffy John. Woohoo! Well, there's a way that seems right. Oh, it seems right in the moment, but its way leadeth unto death, and there's no life there.
Oh, I hope you guys are all right, man. Come on, you know what I'm saying. It's making sense. You can't get around what I'm saying. Always ask the Holy Spirit when I speak to let me say it in a way where there's just no way out that a man would have to choose out.
Because that's accountability. That's how we want to preach as preachers, ain't? Amen. Okay, I got to wrap this up. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by the good conduct of his life that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, come on, don't boast and lie against the truth. What's he saying? Get a grip on your heart. Don't get in denial. Deal with what you know is motivating you on the inside.
That's
He's not condemning you. He's not saying shame on you. He's saying stop boasting and lying against the truth. Stop appearing to be something you're not. Get a grip on who you are inside and get the inside of the cup clean. Because if the inside's clean, you don't ever have to even think about the outside. The outside will be clean.
Yes.
It says he who doesn't stumble in speech, he's been mature and perfected in love.
That's so good. Yeah. So good.
So if you have bitter envy or self-seeking, just James says, where do these fights and where do these skirmishes come among you from? He said, because you lust and you want and you need and you cannot have. So it ticks you off. Paul says in Corinthians, man, when you guys are living with contention, you're carnal Christians. When you fight amongst yourselves, you prove that you're carnal. You haven't grown in the things of the Spirit. It is not cool, guys, to have animosity in our homes. It's cool to make peace. Now listen, it takes two to tango. It takes one to stand in peace. And it says as much as depends on you, even if somebody in your home doesn't want peace, you can be a peacemaker. You do never, ever have to put fuel on a fire. It takes two to tango. Jesus came and laid down his life. That's his idea of making peace. You lay down your life. You say, well, they emotionally abuse me. You can only emotionally abuse somebody that doesn't know who they are. You try to emotionally abuse me. You will get emotionally abused trying to emotionally abuse me. Because I don't believe lies. And I won't take your frustration to heart, and I won't take your sarcasm to heart. I will just realize you're hurting, and you're not happy inside, and you're sure not free. That would make me cry for you when you're not looking, because I'll know inside you're miserable if you're living that way. So what are you costing me except love towards you?
And that would be free. Do you get it? Come on, guys.
So don't boast and lie against the truth. Now watch. This wisdom does not descend from above. That means this way of thinking isn't God, never has been. So where did it come from? Watch this. It's earthly, sensual, feeling driven, and demonic. The wisdom that thinks for itself is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That thing that allows you to just have an attitude for a day, whatever. Listen, you're in a family. There's four people in the family, and you're straining the other three with an attitude and a need to be right, not even caring what it's costing anybody, expecting them to comply. That's sinful. You'd be better to just carry your cross and take a hit, even if they're wrong, just to show them love and that they're more than that, and let the goodness of your life bring them to conviction instead of fighting.
Come on.
Look, you have no authority in the Lord, and you can't expect Holy Spirit to back up your conversation if you're talking to somebody driven by animosity and frustration and not from love.
That's good.
You don't have a special in with God. We're all worth the same price. There's no partiality and there's no bias with God. He's not about who's right and who's wrong. He's about righteousness and covering a multitude of sin with love and making peace. Yeah. So this wisdom's not from God. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Watch. For where there's envy and self-seeking, confusion, and every evil thing is present. Watch this. You can be in your bedroom crying, doing the spiritual thing, praying, saying all the right words from a place of frustration, hurt, pain, and anger, and just thinking about how he hurt you or how she hurt you and makes you mad. And you're praying in a self-righteous way to God to change them because you're hurt, and you're actually moving in a self-centered way. There's confusion, and you're inviting everything that you think you're binding.
God, I'm just so tired of the devil working in my husband, and I wish you'd just get him free. And I just can't take anymore. How much do you expect me to take? And the whole time you're doing that, you sound spiritual because you're saying Jesus and you're binding the devil and you're actually inviting him and asking him to overtake you because you're only praying because you're hurt and you're full of pain and it's a self-centered motive. You're not even considering the value of your husband, what he's missing, mercy towards him, or vice versa, the husband towards the wife. Listen, I pastored for a while, and I had a wife leave a husband because of the internet. She fell in love, and there was unresolved conflicts, and she left and got starry-eyed, and it's just a sad Hollywood movie. And she leaves to meet a man she didn't even know and be with him, and leaves her two children and the husband. So for 5 days, he's screaming in the room, frantic. God, why did you let this happen? God, you got to bring her back. God, he's freaking out. For 5 days, he told me he's just screaming in his bedroom, ballistic. And on the fifth day, God came in and said, would you stop praying this way? You don't have a problem. That's what God said to the man. The guy said he was never so mad at anyone in his entire life. See, this is a serious story. You hear the sirens rolling this... This story is intense. And I don't even know how ready for this story you are. That's iron's getting your attention. This is big deal right here. Watch. This is God Almighty. This was God. He heard the voice of God. God came into the bedroom and said, would you stop praying that way? You don't have a problem. He said the veins were about to blow out of his neck. He said, what do you mean I don't have a problem? He said he screamed at the top of his lungs. Was this a joke to you? What? I got divorce papers in my hands. My kids no longer have a mother. My wife's in the arms of another man. Boy, it's a great talk show. The rationale is amazing. The analytical concept is never ending. And that was his beef with God. And he screamed out his pain to God. God never flinched and said, it's just what I said. You don't have a problem. Your wife is in trouble. He said, how is it that I can be in you and you can stand here for 5 days and only think for yourself and what she cost you when I gave you my kingdom? How can you only cry for you and you haven't even sorrowed a moment for her? She's lost. And all you can think is about what she's costing you and how she's affecting you. If God would think that way for one day, he has no time for any of us. You get real with me. This is the gospel. Because the church isn't even ready for that story. Because we become a statistic and she broke my trust and I can never trust again. We had covenant. And all of a sudden we make our whole life reciprocal based on the other. Instead of the rock that'll never move. Come on, man. I don't want any other kind of relationship or love or Christianity. It would be false to me. I don't want my cake and eat it too. I want to give my life so I can have his. And I want to see you through his eyes always. And I want to take a legacy that day into the honor of his presence. Not a bunch of frustration and complaints. And can you imagine standing before Jesus one day, looking into his fiery eyes of love and light and truth and going, I really would have believed in you, Lord, if it wasn't for my spouse.
You wouldn't even be able to think that.
Yeah.
So why would you let it work now?
That's right.
God came into the room of a man that was broken and crying and screaming. So would you quit praying that way? You don't have a problem. Boy, he sure laid out his problem. God said, no, your wife's in trouble. You're seeing it wrong. See, the eye's the lamp of the body. And if all you can see is what she did to you, of course you're a mess. But if you can see who he is towards her and who he is in you, that'll hold you strong. See, because that man came running to the office crying uncontrollably, and I saw him come through the door, and I went, oh, no, because I got to talk truth to him, but I have to understand. I have to hold him for 20 seconds and cry with him and let him know I can understand what he's feeling, but it's not the answer, and I have to minister the gospel to him. And I see him coming. He comes to the door, and they know me. My church know me, and they're like, well, we know where he's coming from. So he comes in the door, and he says, listen, don't be concerned by my tears. They're not the tears you think. I've heard the Lord.
I said, what did he say?
And he told me that story, and I cried and said, wow, you heard the Lord. God came in his bedroom when he was throwing a tantrum, guys, and he didn't wrap his arm around him and said, I can't believe she did that to you. He's more of a friend than that.
That's good.
He wrapped his arm around him and said, would you quit crying and praying like that? You don't have a problem. When his veins blew and he screamed to God, God didn't get taken back and say, fine. Hey, I got other things to do. He just stood strong, unmoved by his human limitations. See, because the wisdom of God is foolish. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. Do you understand? So his rationale didn't faze the Lord, and the Lord stood strong and imparted the truth. And this guy broke and realized, man, I'm letting everything she did decide who I am. And now I'm crying out to God to make me better. When God's made me like him, I'm looking at this through my eyes, not his. I'm crying for me, not her. It's time for things to change. Come on, that's just a great word to end on. Yeah, because here's the wisdom that's from above. And then I'll pray over you guys. The wisdom that's from above is what? It's first pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. Come on, you weigh if these things are motivating your heart. The wisdom that's from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Listen, I've learned in my short life that anybody can fight, anybody can have issues, but not everybody's willing to make peace. Anybody can stand and be right. Not everybody's willing to be humble and take a hit and follow Jesus. Not everybody's willing to lay down their life. I've learned this a long time ago. The Lord showed me that in a room even this size, not everybody in the room, no matter what you preach, is willing to become love, because they want to hold on to their own rights. And they have a right to be less than who he is, which is utter deception. It's tragic deception. But yet they say, well, you're telling me that somebody's going to this and I'm supposed to be okay. And they rationalize the flesh and keep themselves from repenting and being like him. The Lord showed me that a long time ago. That in a room this size, there's always a handful of people that when the rubber meets the road, they don't want to become love. Somebody owes them something. Love doesn't owe anything, anything, except to love. And love fulfills all the law because it does no harm to a neighbor. And the greatest of these is the goal of our instruction. 1 Timothy 1:5 is love. The whole purpose of the commandment is love. Guys, if we miss love, we've missed the whole point. It says you can have knowledge of all mysteries, not some. You can have faith to move every mountain, not some. But if you don't have love, you have nothing. Going to church might never change your life. Being with him will. Are we to assemble ourselves together? Is going to church right? Absolutely, but let's understand we're the church. This is where we meet, assemble, get trained, equipped, encouraged, and break, and go out with the good play from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you for the grace in this house. I thank you for the leadership here. I thank you for this precious young couple up here that just keeps growing in you and stays in focus and in vision. And I pray, God, that in this hour, they see as a union, as a marriage, as a husband and wife, they see in the spirit and ministerially like they've never seen before. I pray a blessing over them, God, and I pray that their hearts would be strong, that they would be encouraged, that they would be full of vision and full of faith, and that even in their own respective personalities and their own little niches in life, they would have such a synergism and a unity of oneness together, that God, you would guard that and make that exceptional. And God, I just thank you for the essence and sense of their family, their children. And I just pray that the beauty and the strength of what they experience in their everyday lives would increase more and more and be imparted into this house like never before. I pray that every leader and every person that's partaking of ministry and worship would be moved on by your spirit in an extraordinary way, God, to walk this life out and to live this way and to come here with a strong and clear conscience, just living what we're preaching and preaching what we're living. the two being one, God. Now, I just thank you that this is a house of peace and a house of love. And I thank you that's not weakness, that's the strength of heaven, God. We're not passive and we're not pushovers. We're men and women of God that see through your eyes. And I thank you that the righteous shall not be shaken. I just pray against things that happen in congregations and stuff. And I pray that this house would be stayed from those things. I pray, God, that you would keep a spirit of peace here and a strength here and a unity and a oneness here that would be and continue to become normal across this nation. God, I pray you do it right here. Strike this thing and let it grow more and more in your grace and wisdom, God. And let this community know that you're a good and amazing God because of the folks that live here. Do it in churches all around this area, God. Let this area be targeted with your love and your mercy. And start with us, God. Grow us from the heart up. I bless in Jesus' name and do not curse. And I thank you for the calling and destiny in our lives. And I thank you that they're fulfilled. I pray that there be no casualties in this room. I pray that men move forward and grow up into you in all things. And if the way they're thinking isn't the wisdom of God, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would cause them to think it through. You're the one that's able to keep us from stumbling. And I pray that your grace abound in this house. I'm honored to be here, and I thank you, Lord, for your voice and your word. And I thank you for people that have ears to hear and obey. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks.